Hey everybody, good evening. Good Tuesday evening to you. It is time for Girl Chat Weekly. Come on in the room, ladies, mothers, daughters, women, whoever wants to be in. We don't discriminate. We don't put the brothers out. But this is our 60 minutes about us, for us, by us. Yes, tonight we are talking about mothers and daughters. Jesus, are you there? And I put that part on the end of it because for many of us, and it may not be your testimony, but for some of us, the mother-daughter dynamic has not been easy. Family can be a really interesting F word and complex at times. So yes, I put Jesus, are you there on the end because for many of us, this is a process of reconciliation. Hey, Simone, of growth. It's a journey. Some of us don't even have our mothers. Oh, come on now. We're having some snafus already. There we go. Some of us don't even have our mothers on the earth. Some of us have our mothers on the earth, but we're not in right fellowship with her. Some of us have never known our mother. So we're only looking at it from the being a daughter perspective or being a mother. Simone, to be honest with you, I'm a little heavy on this topic. But if my bun will stay on, child, I couldn't put on no hair today. It's too much going on. But I am okay. I am a little in some pain. This cold air that we are having in the Michigan area is cold, which means those of us who have arthritis and different joint diseases, we suffer because the air is so cold. But I'm pushing through, Simone. Thank you for asking. So we are talking about mothers and daughters. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about honoring our mothers and our fathers for that respect. We're going to talk about the mother and daughter bond and what we can do to keep it intact. And feel free, as always, to state your opinions in the comments. There's no right or wrong responses. We all have different experience in terms of our mother and daughter bond. So I want to make sure we are objective, of course. I've got some articles here, and I will cite the sources because I must do that and to give honor to whom honor is due. We're going to pray, but I do want to remind you that I am a whole paparazzi jury consultant. If you didn't catch today's live, go back and watch the replay. I always come here blinged out. This is what I do. And I want to make sure you have my link to shop online. You can also shop via Facebook, the Polished on Purpose VIP page, or my personal page. But I do have a whole website at your disposal 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, every day you can shop online. We get new releases Monday through Friday. So there's new items coming on the site consistently. So you can look at that as well. And if you've been considering joining my team, becoming a consultant, you can do so for as little as $20. Yes, I said it. 20 bucks can get you into the paparazzi family on my team. You get your website, you get your wholesale pricing for 20 bucks. If you do want to do an upgraded package, we still do have our $99 verified influencer package where you get your website, your wholesale pricing, plus 35 beautiful pieces of our standard jewelry that you pick. It's your Burger King. You pick 35 pieces for 99 bucks. So I will put the link in the comments. Get with me. Let's talk about this opportunity and let's join forces and make some extra money. It's a great sisterhood, brotherhood. We learn a lot. Marketing, advertising. We have fun. We get free pieces. You make good extra money to supplement your income. Because guess what? Chicken wings and oxtails are expensive right now. You're going to need a side hustle to get them oxtails and those chicken wings. Thank you, Simone. Let's pray. And we're going to dive into this topic. It is going to be layered. It is not meant to trigger. It is meant to shed some light on the mother and daughter dynamic Please share. Please tag a few people. I would love to have you in the comments. I would love to get my podcast on your timeline. Hey, Sunette, y'all coming up and through here. Thank y'all. If y'all missed last night, Brother Fred, CEO of Trailblazers with a Z Radio, did part two of the check-in about values and being valued. And we had an awesome discussion last night. Go back and watch the replay. Part three is coming next Monday, and we're going to go even deeper with this topic. So I invite you to go over to YouTube and to subscribe to Trailblazers with a Z, to subscribe to Critical Conversations as well on YouTube. Hello, Debracia. Hey, sis. Thank y'all for coming through. Good evening. Last night was amazing, Simone. That was a hot show. And it's important that we let our brothers know that they are valued. Last night was about the brothers and making sure they feel valued. Single brothers, married brothers, doesn't matter. We have to make sure we are valuing our brothers. Thank you, Debracia. Thank you so much, my beautiful sister. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into this topic of mother and daughter relationships. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, go with me tonight, God, because this one's going to be heavy. I thank you, God, because you allow us to tackle these topics that may seemingly be insurmountable, that may seemingly be hard and difficult, but really you give us the grace and you give us the determination to talk about things that are important to us and to talk about things that are going to help us to be better as human beings, better mothers, better daughters, better sisters, better entrepreneurs, better everything. I thank you, God, for every person that is going to come through the live chat, that is going to be our guest tonight. Bless them in a very special and unique way. I thank you, God, for those who may be struggling in the area of mother and daughter dynamic. So we ask, Lord, that something be said or done tonight that helps them to continue on, to forgive, and maybe even reconcile. So do, Lord, what only you can. Show up, teach us, lead us, guide us, and I'll be forever grateful, and I'll be giving you the praise, honor, and glory because you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. My special guest has entered the room. Simone says she excited about this topic, y'all. Birthday girl, you ready? Happy birthday to you. This is my auntie, y'all. Auntie Emma is my special guest, hanging out with me a little bit on her birthday. Happy birthday, auntie. Are you muted, Auntie Emma?
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you for hanging with me. Let me tell y'all, if you have been watching me any length of time, since I have begun podcasting, you have probably heard the name Auntie Emma, and you have probably heard the phrase, stay the course. That was Auntie's word for me last year, and I kept it. I'm keeping it this year. She is my accountability partner. She is my paparazzi sister. She is my mentor. She is a whole lot of things to me and to other people. And Simone says, happy birthday, Auntie.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We just love you. You are such an amazing soul. You are a go-getter. You are a leader. You are a teacher. You are a supporter. You're so many things. I'm not going to cry because I just put my lashes on. But I get emotional because, okay. All right. You have been there for me, Auntie. You have been there for your girl. And I thank you. I thank you for that. You didn't have to show up like that. And I thank you because you are genuine. I don't always say the right thing or do the right thing, Auntie. But when you pull my coattail, I do obey. Simone says she missed you, Auntie.
Hi, Simone.
So let me get my eyes Lord, I got emotional already.
I'm gonna have to hold you.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday from Debracia Tony Hale. Our girl Mobile is in the room.
Hi.
Yeah, this is my girl. Everybody needs sisters. Get you somebody in your life that can pull your coattail, tell you that your slip is hanging. You out here thinking you cute, and your slip is hanging, and you got TP on your shoes. Get you a somebody that will pull you back in that good bathroom and say, girl, we ain't going to do that. So next says, happy birthday and blessings, looking like sunshine and good energy. That's her. Really do thank you for being. Hey, Janae. You got another happy birthday wish from my vendor host boss. Janae is in the room. It is important, y'all, to have you a good sister, a good mentor, a good accountability partner. And you really should have an accountability partner in every area, whether it's marriage, business, spirituality, work, whatever it is that you do. You want to be held accountable for your actions. You need to get that person. And maybe that person can be, you know, an AP for you in multiple areas. So it's important. Simone and I, she's my accountability partner, prayer partner. So I'm glad you're here. I want to celebrate you. We are talking about, and I'm not sure how long you can hang out. We ain't going to be out here long, Auntie. But we're talking about mother and daughter relationships. And I want to talk about that from the perspective, for me, if anybody has been watching and listening, I have not had the best relationship with my mom as of late, but we are working towards better. One thing I'm grateful to God for is that he gives us people who can step in and help with that dynamic. When you don't have your mom at the moment, he can give you aunties and neighbors, godmothers, grandmothers, that can help stand in a gap while you are healing, because some of us don't even have our mothers alive. So God gives us people in our path to help us with that. Now, the reason why I wanted to approach this topic, Auntie Emma, is because I have a daughter, and she is 20. And raising a daughter in the age of technology, in the age of social media and different opinions and choices, and a lot goes on. I didn't have a smartphone growing up. Our kids are glued to these phones, and so are we. I get it. I understand. But the dynamic of parenting has shifted from the 70s, 80s to now in 2024. And we've had to make some adjustments. My mother is a baby boomer. I am a Gen Y, I think. And I think Gabby might be Gen X, something like that. So as these generations shift and change, as society changes, we have to kind of shift and ask God to show us how to parent in these times and not compromise what's right, and not compromise. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. However, we also have to learn that there can also be some compromise, because we have to listen. Would you agree with that, Auntie Emma?
I definitely agree, because parenting, you don't get to go to school for parenting.
That's true.
No one, it's a learn day by day, grow with the child. I mean, you're an amazing mother.
Oh, and thank you, Auntie.
It's so blessed to have an amazing, awesome Christian mother, as well as you are. How I want to put this. You're blessed to have a 20-year-old daughter in these days and time that you that still want to hang out with you. I think y'all are cool. Y'all the cool couple.
Yes.
Y'all hang out. She's there for you. I love it. I love it.
She is.
And of course,
she's a big part of my life.
Yes, she is. And you're very important to her. I know it. I see it. I hear it. Mm-hmm. You're very important to her. So on the other note is that, like I said, it's a day by day process.
Yes.
It's a day.
Agree. Yes.
Every parent is different.
Mm-hmm.
Every parent is different. And I'm learning that. Like, with, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, uh-uh. We're not gonna- And they're not, and the mother told me they're not raised to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Ooh.
Yes. She actually said that in front of the child. Yeah. I was like, girl, I did like the Sky Rider girl. I just, oh my. Well, as of today,
mm-hmm.
you may not teach them, but in my presence, they're going to say, yes, sir, no, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, no, whatever. They're going to say it. And I had to tell my son, you know, that's how you was raised,
mm-hmm.
and the way you should, that's something with co-parenting
that yes. you,
the mom, need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it's not everybody raised their children different.
Yes.
Everybody. My poor child, listen to him tell the story. I should have been locked up with throw the key away.
Woo-wee.
So, but he survived.
Yes.
I survived.
And I survived too.
I mean, my grandmother did not spare the rod, baby.
Ooh-wee.
And I'm glad that she didn't. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if I could say anybody loved me, I know my four grandparents loved me, my paternal and maternal grandparents loved me, because I was raised between the two of them, that couple. And yeah. I mean, I didn't realize I was spoiled until they were gone, grown, and I was in my 40s.
Wow.
That's how long it took me to mm-hmm. realize, oh my gosh, they really love me.
Wow.
And I mean, the things that I'm old school, like I'll tell y'all, and I say y'all don't laugh at me because I say y'all, I'm from Louisiana, I'm a Creole.
That's what she says. That's auntie.
Yeah. I just realized that they all said, they all taught me something.
Mm.
Still using those same forms of what they taught me.
Yeah.
And I treat people like I want to be treated. That
Absolutely.
Was one of the things that ever stuck with me, because mm-hmm. both sets of grandparents always said, be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be somebody else. My grandmother, my grandmother was like, don't you be wanting to be like somebody else, because mm-hmm. you cannot be like someone else, because you don't know what that other person went through to get where they're at.
Yes.
And I always thought I wanted to be Oprah.
I get that.
I mean,
I get that. Me too.
I mean, who does not want to be Oprah? I'm
Hold on, everybody. We lost Auntie. Simone says LHG and Gabby are amazing together. Thank you, Simone. And yes, Auntie is able to be who she is free when she is with LHG. I agree. Hopefully, we'll regain her connection in just a moment. She might have been getting a phone call. But just to give you kind of a background of why I wanted to approach the topic of mother and daughter, growing up in my household, my mother and I did not have the ideal relationship. And I mention it pretty often on this platform that she had a very stressful job, stressful marriage, just stressful life. And hopefully she'll be back, Simone. She may be having some technical difficulty, but hopefully she'll be back. But I watched my mother work very hard. I watched her triumph over adversity. She spent some time as a single mother, some time she had a couple different marriages. So that was a dynamic as well. But she did the best that she could. Auntie is back, Simone. Simone said, what happened to Auntie? She back, Simone.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Things happen, Auntie. I was telling everybody the reason why I wanted to talk about this subject. And it is a sensitive one. And I will say to my audience, this is not meant to trigger you in any way. It's meant to be a catalyst to healing because some of us have not had the best mother-daughter relationship down through the years. And if I can be of any assistance and say something, that will help. Simone said, welcome back, Auntie.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You are loved. You are loved. But if I can say something that will point us in the direction of healing and wholeness, and I want to also say to my audience, I'm going to do better talking about the good times in my life. I never want it to seem like there were no good moments. Did we have some issues? Yes. Have I been hurt by some things that happened in my childhood? Absolutely. But I can't say it was 100% bad. My mother took care of me as far as I had housing. I had shelter, I had food, I had very nice clothes, kept my hair done. There was nothing in terms of lacking it as far as the basic things of life. I had all of that. But the one thing that I wanted the most or more was that intimate time, that mother-daughter time. But when you are stressed out at a job that is taking every interview mentally, you have a stressful marriage, you were also in ministry, and she had multiple jobs in the church, and I don't remember her practicing self-care very much. So to her defense, she was stretched so thin. I don't think she felt capable of being that nurturer. Hey, Cousin Kenyatta, thank you for coming through. So I will say that fast forward into my adulthood, and after my daughter was born, I believe he tried to make up for a lot of that time that we missed. So I at least have to say thank you for trying. Simone says, in the words of Fantasia, everything that you've been through was necessary for your story. Yes, I agree with that. It built my character. A whole podcast was built based upon my life experiences to help other people. So I want to make sure I'm not portraying only the challenges, because there were some good times. My mother is the best businesswoman, professional, speaker, preacher, glamour girl. She's beautiful and powerful. As a matter of fact, Mommy wrote a part of this book. It says, crystal clear, sisters walking in purpose with clarity, focus, and faith. My mother is included in this anthology. She is an author. So I was able to get this book when I went to support her at a speaking engagement. So that's, I'm proud of her. Proud of her. Now, the Bible is very clear about us honoring our parents. What it doesn't say is that we're only to honor them when they do right, or we're only honoring them in perfection. Nobody is perfect. No mother, no father, no human being is perfect. But the Bible says that we ought to honor them, period. No stipulations on that. So in order for us to be in right standing with the Lord, the word of God says to honor. What does that mean? It means respect. It means respect. It also means to hold them in a high regard. I have not always done that, and I have to repent. Thank you, Simone. She says, congrats to my mommy, Ruth King. Thank you. I have to do better in how I respect her and how I regard her, regardless of what parents do, don't do, say, don't say. The Bible says we have to honor them. What it doesn't say, though, is that we have to stay in unhealthy situations. Okay? So given the fact that if you've gone through some things with your parents that have you in a kind of in a fragile state, you have the right to set healthy boundaries. Okay? So if your mom was abusive verbally, physically, if she subjected you to molestation and didn't protect you, I understand all that. But just because she did that, you're going to have to forgive, for one. You should be praying for her. For years, I did not pray for my mother. Yeah. I had to repent for that. Yeah. Because she is still God's child. I am not a perfect parent. My baby just came in here. And she can tell you, not perfect. We have moments that are heated because we are still understanding each other. I want to be the person she comes to about anything. But guess what? I can't fly off the handle. I can't do that. If you want your child to come to you about life. Hello, Auntie Diane. Thank you. Good evening. We are celebrating Auntie Emma tonight as well. If we want our children to come to us in a moment of, Mama, I need to know what to do. I'm starting to like, you know, boys, or I am, you know, having these feelings, or I'm being bullied, or I have some issues with other females. If you want your child to be open, you've got to listen. Kenyatta says, yes, honor your mother and father. But it also says, that is true, cousin. Don't bring your children to wrath. That is also in the Bible. Yes, you in the book, cousin. And there are some parents who have used their power in an abusive way and have brought their children to wrath. We have to forgive. We have to pray for them. Show love if you are able to do so in a healthy way. I am not saying that our love and honor is the acceptance of what they've done. We can't change what they did or didn't do. Heck, I've made mistakes with my baby, and I'm probably going to keep making them. As Auntie said, there is no handbook or so like classes. You can't go to college and get a degree in parenting. They probably should come up with that. Yes, cousin, forgive and pray. Simone said, hello, Gabrielle. She said, hi. So I want to invite you all on this journey. Auntie Diane said, happy and blessed born day, beautiful. Don't we love Auntie?
Thank you, Diane, so much, Auntie.
What are some of the ways that we can honor our parents? Let's talk about that. We said forgive. We said love. Show appreciation. I appreciate the fact that my mother was my first teacher. She taught my sister and I, when all the other kids was out playing on their big wheels and running around, we were in the house with a big giant typewriter playing office. Because mama wanted us to always have skills, Auntie Emma.
So you had a typewriter.
A big old, listen. Yes. Typewriter, then a word processor.
Okay, so did you have the one where the you see the key leap out?
Yes. We had all that.
Okay.
We had all that. Kenyatta says, make sure they are okay and not in need. Yes. To honor our parents, we are making sure that they are okay. Now, depending on what's going on in that dynamic, you may have to do that from a distance. Mom, dad, do you need this? Do you need that? Because some of us have suffered at the hand of our parents, and they're not quite ready to have the conversations that will clear things up. Because the baby boomer generation, if I can be real honest tonight, they were born in the do not talk about it era. Exactly. Don't ask, don't tell, get over it, pray about it, move on. The unfortunate part of that is when you approach life and trauma in that way, you don't get the help that you need to process some things that have gone on. Out of all the people that I've talked to in my circle, 9 out of 10 of my friends have been molested, raped, fondled, mishandled, sexually assaulted, abused at the hands of someone that they knew, that had access to them. So many of us, the Me Too movement is real. And cousin says, yes, I feel guilty for having, I felt guilty too for having emotions, because my daughter and I can talk about emotions. I'm getting better at it. But I couldn't walk up to my mom and say, mama, you're causing me to have a negative emotion. She would have slapped me back to the cross. I'm just being honest, y'all. Can we just be real? It's not to shade nobody. It's not to blame nobody. It's to tell the truth. That group of people were raised to not address trauma, to act as though things just weren't happening. If you ignore it, it'll go away, but that's not healthy. But we still have to honor these parents, cousin. Yeah. And I'm doing so. Confession brings the healing. I always say that. What else can we do? You can honor your parents, helping them in their home. If they need some cleaning in their home, help them out. Planning some time with your family. Maybe it's time to go and get mom and dad and have an outing, have lunch, go to a museum. Maybe it's time. Kenyatta says, stop wearing your feelings on your shoulder. That is what they said. Don't wear your feelings on. That we told, they told us that, but where else am I going to put them? Where else am I going to put them? But fast forward into my motherhood with my daughter, what I took from my childhood was to turn around and say, I want her to tell me about her emotions. I want her to tell me about her feelings. I want to be the one she can confide in. I don't want her running to somebody else. I ran into the arms of older men for love. I don't want her to do that. Sinette says, and don't take info outside to others. What goes on in this house was supposed to stay in this house. Yep. But we use those experiences to say, when I become a mom, I'm going to do things a little bit differently. It's not a blame game. It's a lesson. I want to do things differently in my home with my child. Then the blessing in this is you learn from your life. It builds your character. Your story can help somebody else to make it through. Your testimony has purpose. I want people to be encouraged. No matter what has happened to you in your childhood, it does not define you. Do not pitch your tent in it. I want us to process it. Get your therapy. Get you some Jesus. Get you a good Auntie Emma. Or want somebody close to that can love on you, even in your pain, and grow. Get you a village. Get you a support system. Speaking of that, Shades of Chocolate is our women's ministry. online, on Facebook. You do not have to maneuver through life alone, ladies. It's prayer, it's resources, it's information. That's it, Simone. Jesus and therapy, Biggie size. Now, Auntie, how comfortable are you in telling us how your mom and daughter relationship was?
My mom and daughter relationship was, like you said, you talk about it, you leave it, you put it not under the rug, under the house.
All right.
Under the house. And that was it, point blank.
Okay.
My grandmother, now she, which is my mom's mom, she was the firm believer. She had no filter on her mouth. Like okay. It is what it is. It is what it is when she tell you. Either that or you gonna spare. She was gonna spare that right. That was just point blank. Mm-hmm. I heard you say your mother made sure you had a roof over your head. You had table. You had the best of what she was able to give you.
Yes.
And she gave you all the necessities.
She did.
She gave you all the necessities. Mm-hmm. And for me to learn after all 3 years of knowing you, to learn that your mom is an author. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I see where it come from.
Yes.
Now that I'm putting the whole picture together.
Yes.
So, like I said, my grandmother, it was what it was. I mean, back in those days, you could not, if you heard that, like today, I'm just going to put it out there. I slept in the bed with my uncles.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Right now, saying that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But I love them to death. I love them to death. I only have one uncle left on my mom's side. I have none on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. And I only have one great uncle that is left on my mama's side.
Mm-hmm.
So to say no, but my grandmother's instilled in me that you live with what you get and provide for you.
Okay.
And I didn't have no expectations. And that was me. Mm-hmm. I thought to not have expectations of what people is supposed to do and give you.
Right.
You go with the bare minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And they were working. They were working parents. I mean, father, grandfather worked on a rice farm. Back in those days, the rice farmers furnish you a home. Do they do days? No, they don't. They furnish a good home.
Yes.
I mean, well insulated, very popular line, what they would live in.
Right.
But you didn't see much of your fathers because the fields till late at night cutting rice, you know, doing all the produce and everything.
Yes.
So, but on weekends they gave us that time. They gave us that time. They brought us together. We had family events where the family would come together and just relax and share.
Yes.
Now we don't do that. You know, your children are wanting to be your friends.
Yes.
My grandmother said, I'm not going to be your friend. It was like, what I said goes.
Yes.
But you nowadays, in time, like you said, with those baby boomers, that's where I was in that time. So those baby boomers and then the what is it? The Gens. You're the Gen Y, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe I'm Gen Y, and then you have millennials and Gen X.
Yes.
I see Gen X. I'm not sure. I lose count, Auntie.
for the baby boomers and now the millennium. I forgot these and stuff. But it's just to say that we had everything and more. I didn't expect my grandparents to do or my mom to do anything other than be there when I met her. And that was it. I didn't look for anything because I wasn't taught
for
that. But I mean, we had like you going to church. If when I get up on Sunday, everybody getting up on Sunday to go to church. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't care. I don't know how they was pandemic, but everybody was gonna wake up, you know. But
everybody was going.
It's just you have to forgive and work on you first. And I'm not saying that you
absolutely
parents mm-hmm. in general. They need to work on them first.
Yes.
You know that's your child, your daughter. Learn, you know, what they like. Some parents are so tied up in work.
Mm.
And it's a difference from what your mom, our time, versus the children now. And then I call them like these pandemic children.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be a such thing as pandemic kids? I don't know.
Yes.
Me come up with that. But it's just sometimes you just have to put your foot down and know that praying, forgiving yourself.
Yes.
Let the past go.
All right. We lost her for just a second. I want to catch up on some comments while we get Auntie back. Cousin says, my grandmother was a rock, but don't know why I didn't talk to her more. Hello, Auntie Peggy. Auntie Peggy is in the house. Oh. Minister Deshaun is in the house. She says, great topic. My daughter is like her dad, Kodak Cutie. All right. Dorothy Ruth was the glue, Minister Deshaun. All right. Okay.
My
mom took me at 13. Wow, Minister Deshaun. And she's the only child. But okay, Gen X. Is that what we are, Patricia? Gen X. Okay.
Am I back?
You're back. You are back. We got one more question. Simone says, is it wrong for a parent to be a friend and still parent properly? That's a good question, Simone. Very good question.
No, not at all. I say, Simone, it goes with time and dates. It's different. You have to go with what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a group where a lot of the ladies have autistic kids.
Okay.
I mean, what those parents go through, oh my God.
Mm.
It's, you know, that alone is so hard and having to empower them because you have to first know that they got that child is perfect. Other people don't have to accept it,
right?
But you have to accept that God gave you that child, bless you with that child, mm-hmm. because He knew you could handle the war that was going to be in front of you. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
It's you know, I just tell them, you know, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Stay empowered. Stay mm-hmm. focused and listen.
Yes. Listen
to your children.
Absolutely.
Listen to them. I mean, hey, I could use a madam producer. If you don't want to, I'll tell you.
That Gabrielle is madam producer. She has been my support system when it came to my jewelry. Before she started working, she was up with me going live, packing orders, putting things in the bag, getting the numbers. That baby knows she loved her mama. But let me say this about Simone's question, Auntie. Because I have mixed feelings about being a child's friend. I will say you can be friendly, open, listen, loving. But to me, as a parent, you still have to have that level of authority. If you become too much of a buddy, I know people who go hang out with their kids at the club. They go drinking with I'm going to get a drink with my child. I can't do that because I am still her mom and I want her to respect me as an authoritative figure, but yet be friendly enough to say, baby, how was your day? What's on your mind? I think you have to be careful with being a child's bestie as opposed to their mom or dad. You have to take it, I would say, almost case by case, depending on the situation. When my daughter comes to me, when she's had a troubled day, I can be a little bit of both. I'm mommy because I'm going to give you some advice, but I'm friend because I'm going to listen. But I still have to maintain that level of authority because I want her to respect me as mom. So I'm not saying it's wrong to be friendly, but if you classify yourself as just your child's friend, sometimes that dynamic can turn too familiar. And you lose the potency of being a parent. LaShawn says, you cannot be a parent and friend. It will backfire. Trust me. You have to take it in perspective because I know people who say they have a perfect, friendly connection to their children. But on the outside looking in, them kids fast. They fast. They came, they 13 years old wearing Move Something dresses. They having glasses of wine at 17 with their mama. To me, that friend dynamic could be the slippery slope. That is not your hangout buddy. If no. You start telling your daughter all your man issues, get you a friend, mama. Some stuff I don't talk to my daughter about. I mean, I'm open with her about the majority of my life, but I'm still an adult. And certain things I probably won't just kick it with Gabrielle about. I'm just, that's not my bestie. That's my daughter.
Daughter.
And I want to maintain the integrity of that dynamic. Cousin says, as soon as I tried to tell anything, I was feeling I had to hear how I went to private school, had food and shelter. Forget about I had to deal with issues I was incapable of handling at a young age. Good point. So yes, our family, our mom, our dad can give us the basics of life. Food, clothes, shelter. But does that make up for some of the trauma? No, it doesn't. It just says we're not going to focus on just the bad, but it doesn't take away not being protected. Or people coming in your home and violate you. It doesn't take away. It doesn't make that part right. It doesn't, Kenyatta. And I'm glad you brought that up. It just says, we acknowledge that there was some good, but there was also some not so good. Thank God we made it. Thank God for other family members. My auntie is my rock. Shout out to Mary Finch. Simone Austin, yes, LaShawn was telling Simone it didn't work for her, but it might work for another mama. I can't speak for her parenting style, but for LHG, I want my daughter to always see me as mommy that's friendly. She is a good listener. She will let me talk to her about whatever. She'll give me good advice. She'll be honest with me. Because I have not been perfect in my life. And I have shared with my daughter some of the things that I messed up on. I can't act like I was a virgin for 30 years because I wasn't. I have to be honest. But yes, there is a pandemic generation. Auntie was right, wasn't she, Kenyatta? Yep, she was right. Auntie Peggy says, you can't be your child's friend and expect them to have respect for you. You have to have a line drawn. You can be friendly. You can be loving, and you should be. You can be kind, and you should be. But at some point, if you're too friendly, and then you turn back around and try to instill, a mama, they're going to be like, but we was just kicking it and smoking weed and drinking. So you're going to be mama now? Which one are you going to be? You have to draw the line. Kenyatta said you still a virgin. Ah! Kenyatta. Okay, cuz. You are, look, according to your faith, be thou made whole. Sinette, partying without booze, drugs at home, clubbing is hard. When you enter into that club mode, that partying mode with a child, I think you kind of lose them. I'm just being honest.
That's too
much. Go ahead, Auntie.
I'm sorry. That's like the movie. There's a thin line between love and hate.
Uh-huh.
That is a very thin line. I can't go clubbing.
Very thin line. Now, I want to talk about five phrases, and I got an article, y'all, that we can use to help strengthen our mother and daughter bonds. And I'm not saying this is just for daughters. It can probably help with sons, too. I chose that because I have a daughter, and I am a daughter. But you can probably use these just for your children, period. This article is from Motherly Parenting. Five phrases that can help strengthen your mother-daughter bond. Let's do number one. I hear you. That's the first phrase.
First one.
We need to let our children know that they have a voice. We hear them. Don't go off on the deep end too quickly, mamas. I've done that. You did what? What? Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. I've done that. My mom did that. I try to curb that and at least let my daughter get her complete thought out before I pass out on the floor. I hear you. She told me the other day, she felt as though she was not able to express herself without judgment and be free and me accept her feelings. I had to apologize. I had to apologize because I deal with anxiety and so does she. So in that case, we have got to have a I hear you with each other. I hear you. It says there will be things your daughter will tell you that you don't want to hear, but she needs to know you'll always be there to listen. As mothers, we might not always agree with all the choices our daughters make, but in interest of promoting healthy communication, they need to know they can come to us and be heard. I hear you.
Hear you.
That probably is good in any relationship, Auntie.
Very good. Anybody.
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 Husband, wife, mama, son, you gotta hear each other.
Yep.
Ooh, that's a good one, y'all. One more, we're gonna start wrapping up. When you're ready, let's work on how to fix this. Second phrase, when you're ready, let's work on how to fix it. So it says here, mistakes happen, especially in relationships. Trust can be broken. Feelings get hurt and words do damage, but working our way back from that is what matters the most. That's why it's crucial, the article says, that our daughters understand the importance of seeking resolution in order to repair your relationship and that we assure them that mistakes aren't the end of the world. Simone says, yes, we should always hear our children. They should be heard and respected. And if mistakes are made, let me tell you this. I was 27 years old when I went to the doctor's office, and I went there to talk about bariatric surgery, Auntie. Okay. 26, matter of fact. And he comes in, and my doctor at the time was also my mom's doctor and had been our family doctor for many years. He comes back in the room and says these words, Miss Harris, I can't operate on you. I can't agree to the surgery. I said, well, why, Doc? He says, someone is living in your stomach. I said, well, What you mean, a squatter? I got a squatter in my belly? You got to be mistaken.
You did like Scooby-Doo.
I did. Like, huh? I did. I did. I'm like, what? And he says, yes, you are pregnant. And let me tell you, I broke down into tears, not because I was pregnant, because to be honest, I wanted a daughter really bad, but because I wasn't sure of how my mama would respond. And the church.
Being there.
Bring dishonor to my family. So I'm bawling. And the doctor was like, how old are you?
26.
And he says, well, do you want me to call your mama? I can call her. I said, no, I'll call her. I called my mama, and just what she said. She said, girl, I knew you was pregnant. Because when you got sick at the 4th of July dinner, you will never get sick like that. I already knew. Come home, shut up that crying, get in that good car, and get home.
Get home.
She already knew. Here I am thinking I am going to dishonor her, and her thought of me is going to be tarnished. She's going to see me as some harlot. She's like, come home, girl. That's my grandbaby in there. Come on. And I love her for that. I will always love her for that, because not every mother responds that way when a daughter is pregnant out of wedlock. Some mothers have said, get out. I can't speak to you. Yes, girl, a squatter, y'all. A squatter in my belly. And snuck in there unawares. Kieta says, I was told in no uncertain terms I was an embarrassment. And that's what I was afraid of. And I'm sorry you even experienced that, cousin. That's a harsh thing to hear from a parent or from anybody.
I'm scared.
It made me realize, as I became a mother, and I am grateful to my daughter. She has been doing very well, remaining child free. And I pray she takes her time and does not rush. But I had to reassure her in no uncertain terms that she was never a mistake.
No.
Even though how she got here didn't line up to the rules and regulations of our Christian belief system, she will always be my gift. Always be. Simone says, explain what a squatter is. I would love to. Well, in the natural sense, if a person moves into a house that ain't theirs,
right?
They change the lock. They pretty much find an abandoned house and just move in without the owner being aware. That's called a squatter. So I'm saying that here come this baby, this snuck in my belly. Like, I knew what I did to get her there.
Right.
But I did not realize that I was with child. Mama knew. I didn't know. And as parents, what this particular phrase is saying, when you're ready, let's work on how to fix this. My mother did eventually talk to me about what happens when you have premarital sex. Right. Did you think this couldn't happen? You didn't use the condom. You're not on birth control. So yes, we did have that discussion after she lovingly told me, just come home, baby. I appreciated her for that, because it could have went a whole nother way. Kenyatta says her children are gifts. Yes. Yes, they're gifts. Auntie Peggy says, you was 26. That's right. Not 13. Back in the day, if a girl got pregnant at 13, the parents would send the girl away. Yes. And once the baby was born, the grandmama would end up raising the baby as their own. You have just described a whole Lifetime movie. But that's what was happening back in that day. Some of these people don't even know that their sibling is actually their mama. You calling them sister, but that's your mama. Or it's your, you saying grandmama, but it's your mama, or vice versa. because families kept that as secrets. And back in my day, if you got pregnant also in the church, you would have to stand before the church and say, I was wrong. Forgive me, church, congregation. Repent to God, repent to the people. I didn't have to do that, but my cousin did when she got pregnant. They had to go before the church. But you're right, Auntie Peggy. I thought I was acting as though I was 13 because to me, disappointing my mom, it crushed me. I never wanted her to look at me like I was a disgrace. But I wasn't crying because of the baby. I wanted a beautiful daughter with a head full of hair. But I in our upbringing, in our Christian upbringing, I had fell outside of, you know, I fell from grace, as we call it, and had a child prior to marriage. So, yeah, we got another comment.
I think that's what.
Okay, you can also ask. Go ahead, Auntie.
I think that's where the mix up comes from. It's instead of being judged, because you're already going to be judged, you know. Yeah. It's not an accident, or you know what you was playing with, number right. one.
Right.
It is a blessing, a gift from mm-hmm. God. It's a plan mm-hmm. that God has for your life at that time, whether what age you are. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it don't give parents the right, because I was just like you. I was 7 months, I'm gonna just tell you, I was 7 months pregnant. Riding a bike and everything, doing what I want to do, still wearing my jeans, what I've been wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And before my mama found out that I was pregnant, because wow. I was scared. I was scared to tell her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it was even worse because my grandmother who raised me, her mom had passed away at my high, the month before I graduated.
Wow.
Yes. Mm. So my grandfather told me at that time, no, your mom is not Enola. That's your mom. And that's what you need to call her. Wow. I'm like, okay. So that, and you know, she had these expectations of, it was four girls, three boys. None of the girls were pregnant before marriage. None of them. So here I go, I'm thinking I'm bringing the curse in.
Mm, wow.
And I didn't broke the I was going to be an embarrassment to my family.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom totally, when she found out from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, sit down. I could see her doing just like Auntie Peggy Spam would do.
Mm-hmm.
Get on and sit down right there. Sit down.
Sit down.
It's something you got to tell me. And I'm like, something I got to tell you. Mm. Girl, she raised my shirt up and everything. you squashing that child.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. So I didn't have to, I was like you. It was like a relief. I was 18, but it was like a relief. But there it goes to the book, the Bible, to me. If our children are blessings, not if, they are blessings and gifts. Yes.
Yeah.
It goes to the book, who is man or woman to judge?
Mm.
We know we're playing with fire.
Yes.
Own up to it. And that's where that communication back in the day that we did not have.
Yes.
That's where we should have had back then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Back then.
And we got to have more of it now. Let me get a couple of these comments in, Auntie. We see, okay, you can also ask, this is Patricia Gray, my sister, do you want to fix this? Because sometimes they don't want you to fix it. They just want to talk. That's good. Because as moms and as parents, we're going to come in as the fixer, as Olivia Pope, always coming in to fix stuff. But maybe the child just wants to talk. And in that talking, they can discover resolution in talking to your parent. But we always have that swarming, I'm going to fix it. So we have to give them room to just talk it through and let them discover that there are some options. That is a good point, Patricia. Cousin Kiyota says, I knew when my younger son had his first kiss, something about those lips was looking real different. Goodness, Kenyatta, you are so funny. He was watching him like a hawk. Yes, Simone. Kenyatta says, I used to date a guy who found out his aunt was actually his mother. It was awful when he found out. I don't know why we kept that kind of stuff from people, but that was the time that we lived in, I guess. Another comment. I sat down and talked to my daughter about everything, all the options if she gets pregnant, et cetera, et cetera. I told her about when I got pregnant, but we've always laughed about that. That's what I'm talking about. Sit down with your children when you know they're approaching that age or even before. Talk about the birds, the bees, the trees, everything. Have those open dialogues. And then when they come to that age of catching some feelings, well, here's how you approach that. If you do decide to go this route, you at least need to do this. Because if you don't, here's going to be the consequences. We don't have those talks no more. We don't. We got to get better with that. We got a few more comments, Auntie. We're going to wrap up. We also talked about her safe place in case of sexual assault. That's good. I'm not her safe place because I'm dangerous. She's a LOL. She has four brothers. Ooh, she got four brothers. They go to safe place. They're her safe place. Much better idea. I'm okay with that. Tell me later slowly so I don't murk nobody. I get it. Sinead says her mom was forced to marry her dad at 17. That happened a lot growing up.
Yes,
Auntie said, bringing the curse in. We felt like that. If you were the one pregnant out of wedlock, you sometimes felt like you were going to be the black sheep, the curse of the family. I talked to my knucklehead boys too. Good, Patricia. Auntie Peggy says, we are ashamed and scared because the way we was raised. My mom told me if I kiss a boy, I could get pregnant. And I didn't understand that, but we all know kissing leads to you know what. Yes, Auntie.
Right.
Now we get it, right? Now we get it. That kissing gets all those feelings. Next thing you know, the deeper, and now you look like, what? So yes, yeah. I'm glad you put that in perspective now that we can read between the lines as to what they were trying to tell us. I found my grandma signing for the marriage at mom's funeral. Wow, Sinette. Wow. Simone says, why do we call the sex story the birds and the bees? Somebody made that up, Simone. I can't tell you who. You'll have to Google the origin. But since I've been alive, it's always been birds and bees. Birds and bees. Not sure why. Hello, Brother Beatty. CEO was in the house. We're going to have to do a part two of this. I want the takeaway that I want us to have tonight is to be open. Mothers, okay, whether you have daughters or sons, we have to have more conversation, more honest, open discussion. Don't pretend to be perfect. I found pictures of my parents' wedding, and I turned the picture over and saw the date of the wedding and compared it to my birthday. So I was not conceived in wedlock. But guess what? It don't make me no difference. No. I'm here. I don't see my parents any differently. At that time, like Auntie Peggy said, if you got pregnant in that particular generation, especially in the church, there was no question. Let's get the wedding dress, go grab a suit from Kmart. go get a couple packs of hot dogs and they go to reception. There it is. There was no discussion. It was no should we or shouldn't we. No, you ain't married. You pregnant. You about to get married.
Shotgun,
and the chips shall fall where they may. Now, for some, it might have worked. For some couples back in the day, it might have worked, and they may have made it 50 and 60 years. But for a lot of couples, because they weren't really even ready for that. It was two kids, started off kissing, as Auntie said, and then it went on to the next level. And here come a child. It doesn't qualify them for marriage. It just means they may meet their parents at an early age. But in that time, they thought that that was the admirable, honorable, Christian thing to do. That's a whole different show. Brother Fred says, the fact that we don't have these types of conversations with our kids about these type of things still astonishes me. We have left these kinds of discussions to predators. You want to know why your children are in the arms of people who don't love them and who are not good for them? Because they're not getting these conversations at home. If you don't teach them the streets will, or social media will, and you don't want your child to be human trafficked. I told my story. At 14 years old, my boyfriend was in his 40s. He could have unlifed me. He could have kidnapped me. He could have pimped me out overseas. But God. But the reason why I ran to him was because I was a big black child with a J curl, and no one taught me to my value. No one told me I was beautiful but him, a predator. So we have to have these discussions to save the lives of our children. When I see on Facebook a missing girl at 12 or 13, I start praying so fast.
Yep.
Don't let her be in the arms of some strange old man that want to take her out of here. Lord, bring her home safe. But they catfishing on Facebook, pretending to be 17, 18, sneak out of the house and come see me. I want to show you how I'm going to help you be a woman. They grooming our kids.
Yep.
If you don't take the driver's seat of the parenting, somebody in these dang on the streets will, and we are losing too many of our children, particularly African-American young girls that go missing hundreds, if not thousands a year.
Yep.
Come on. It's not right. And to be honest, Patricia, when we were small, the old men was coming up to the high schools then. Can we tell the truth and shame the devil? They was coming up in their Lincolns to the high schools, picking up young girls then. This stuff ain't new. We didn't have Facebook then. We had a party line. We had a party line. You call a time and it turned to a party line and you hear voices, you exchange numbers, and now you across the street with some old man.
Yeah,
we are going to have more of these discussions. We're going to save the lives of our children.
Please. Yes, we have to.
We and got it, to.
It starts with us.
It starts with us. We got to do something, y'all. Yes, Patricia. Every time we went to the penny candy store, it was some older gentleman in a big old giant, one block long Lincoln, winking and blinking at us, and we was 12. It's the truth. Yeah. It's the truth. Auntie Peggy said sometimes it was the male teacher at the school. Ooh, Auntie. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. One final comment, and female teachers too. You're right, Brother Fred. The fact that I read this one already. Oh, here we go. The fact that we don't talk about human sex trafficking, knowing that it is something that has actively happened and is happening, we got to talk about it. is happening. Our children are connecting with people through social media that are 20 and 30 years older than them, that mean them no good, because they want to feel grown. Watch the children who isolate all the time. Open that door. Open that door. You don't know what they're doing, who they talking to, where they're going. We have to raise our children and not make them raise themselves. I don't want us to lose any of our babies. It was nothing but God that kept me alive. Nothing but God. I was looking for love in the wrong places. Fathers, mothers, tell your children how loving that you, that they are. They're loved, they're valued, they're important. All right? Talk about sex, the birds, the bees, the lions, the bears, whatever you want to call it. Talk about it. Auntie, I want to thank you for being here. Happy birthday to my Auntie Emma.
Thank you.
Love you. You are so, so, so incredibly important to me. And my listeners and viewers love you as well. Thank you for all of you who came in the live comment. Share this. We're going to do part two next week about mamas and daughters. That's right. CEO says, happy birthday, Auntie Emma. This was good. And we're going to keep doing this. Auntie, you want to have some words before we go?
I'm just going to, I'm going to encourage people to, I'm going to send a link to you and let you get it out. Because as you know, the company that we're consultants of, which is Paparazzi. Yes. They are big, big, big on human trafficking.
Wow.
They make big donations.
Okay.
Big donations. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, they were in the process of building a building for people that they recover from sex trafficking.
Wow.
Yes. And it is a state-of-the-art building. I don't know where they're at this time, but I know it's something about Outwatch or OnWatch. Talked about that. But it's something you have to have a discussion with your children.
Yes.
Children, nieces, nephews, godchildren, the village children.
The village.
It takes a village to raise a child. So therefore, I highly recommend that you guys look into the sex trafficking, because if they don't get it at home, they're going to get it out in the streets. Yes. And that calls their lives. And absolutely. I also feel like with this stuff, like the blood is on our hands then, because we didn't help.
Yes, ma'am.
Look at it. I'm just a down-to-earth, very transparent. But we got to take accountability and ownership.
Yes.
Into our kids.
Absolutely. I agree. And I want to thank you, Auntie Peggy, Simone, Patricia, all of you, Fred, are a part of my village. Auntie Diane, it not only takes that to raise a child, but the adult needs a village as well, to keep sane in this world. Because as Simone says, life be life, and we need each other to be each other's accountability partners, to check in on each other, to bounce things off each other. We're going to get Auntie Peggy up here next time. Let the auntie speak. It's coming back, honey. Let the auntie speak. I thank you so much for being here. Next week, same time, let's do part two. Let's invite the brothers. It's important that we all discuss this. This is not just a female topic, but we'll talk about mothers, daughters, fathers, and sons, and just families. How about we pray that God help the entire family dynamic, all of us, everybody, moms, fathers, children, grandparents. I think the enemy tries so hard. Thank you, Auntie Peggy. The enemy tries to dismantle our families, because he even knows we're stronger together, and that if we link together, how powerful we can be. And it doesn't even have to just be blood family. Many of you may not even have blood family left or in your town, but just having a covenant with people, a covenant of love, that's your family. My family that I am with right now, people don't know that the Finch family is not my blood. But I met them when I was 8, and I'm now 48. So that's 40 years of love and relationship. So God blesses us with family in different ways. It could be blood. It could be just connection. It could be neighbors. It could be church family. It could be a work family. It's a community. The key word is community. We need to have community. So we're going to get out of here. Again, thank you to my special guest, the birthday queen, Auntie Emma. And we'll be back next Tuesday with this same topic. And we're going to invite the brothers. All right. Good night, everybody. I love you. Be safe. Stay warm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Auntie.
Bye-bye.